They followed the dry riverbed into the east. But now the urgency that had accompanied their night marches through the dune country was left behind them, for there was good water under the sand. They travelled from before sunrise until the heat drove them into shelter, and then from late afternoon until after dark. The pace was leisurely, for they foraged and hunted on the march. Hani cut a special digging stick for Sun Ten, peeled it and hardened the point in the fire, and showed her how to use it. Within a few short days, Sun Ten was recognizing the surface indications of many of the edible and useful tubers and plants. It soon became evident that, though Owa was so adept in the bushcraft and lore of the desert, and that although his hunting and tracking skills were almost supernatural, it was the foraging and gathering of the women that provided their little clan with the staples of life. In the days and weeks when game was scarce or simply non-existent, they lived on the plants which the two of them brought into camp. Although Sun Tan learned swiftly and her young eyes were hawk-sharp, she knew that she would never be able to match the innate knowledge and gifts of perception of the old woman. Hani could find the plants and insects that gave no sign on the surface of their hiding place deep down in the earth, and when she dug, the hard dirt flew in all directions. "How do you do it?" Sun Tan could at last demand, for her command of the San language increased every day she spent listening and responding to the old woman's chatter.
"Like Owa found the sipwells from afar," Hani explained later. "I smell it, Nam child, smell, use your nose."
"You tease me, reverend old grandmother," Sun Tan protested. But she watched Hani carefully after that, and she saw that she indeed gave every indication of smelling out the deep nests of termites to raid them of the crumbling white ant bread, which she made into a foul-tasting but nutritious porridge.
"Just like Kaiser Wilhelm," Sun Tan marvelled, and she called to Hani, "Cherchez!"
the way that she and Anna had called to the gross boar when they had hunted truffles in the forest at Morthom.
"Cherchez, Hani!"
And the old woman laughed and hugged herself with glee. At the joke she did not understand, and then, quite casually, produced a miracle. She and Sun Tan had fallen behind Owa on the evening stage of the journey, for the old man had gone ahead to search for an ostrich nesting ground that he remembered from his last visit so many years before. The two of them were arguing amiably.
"No, no, Namchild, you must not dig two roots from this same place. You must always walk past one before you dig again. I have told you that before," Hani scolded.
"Why?"
Sun Tan straightened up and pushed the thick, bushy curls off her forehead, leaving a sweaty smear of mud on her face.
"You must leave one for the children."
"Silly old woman, there are no children." "There will be."
Hani pointed at Sun Tan's belly significantly.
"There will be. And if we leave nothing for them, what will they say of us when they are starving?"
"But there are so many plants."
Sun Tan was exasperated.
"When Owa finds the nest of the ostrich, he will leave some of the eggs. When you find two tubers, you will leave one of them, and your son will grow strong and smile when he repeats your name to his children."
Hani broke off from her lecture and scurried forward to a bare, stony patch on the bank of the dry river bed, her nose twitching as she stooped to examine the earth.
"Cherchez, Hani!"
Sun Tan laughed at her, and Hani laughed back as she started to dig, and then she dropped to her knees and lifted something from the shallow excavation.
"This is the first one you have seen, Namchild. Smell it. It tastes very good."
She handed the lumpy, dirt-crusted, potato-like tuber to Sun Tan, and Sun Tan sniffed it gingerly, and her eyes flew wide open at the well-remembered aroma. Quickly she wiped the clinging dirt from the lumpy surface and bit into it.
"Hani, you old darling," she cried, "it's a truffle, a real truffle. It's not the same shape or colour, but it smells and tastes just like the truffles from my own land."
Owa had found his ostrich nests, and Sun Tan whipped one of the eggs in its own half-shell and mixed in the chopped truffles and cooked an enormous omelette au truffule on a flat stone, heated in the campfire. Despite the dirt from Santan's fingers, which gave it a faintly greyish colour, and the grains of sand and eggshell chips that crunched under their teeth, they ate it with relish. It was only afterwards, as she lay under the primitive roof of twigs and leaves, that Santan gave in to the homesickness which the taste of truffles had invoked, and she buried her face in the crook of her arm to muffle her sobs.
"Oh, Anna, I would give anything, anything at all, just to see your lovely, ugly old face again."